from the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show. Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Red 7.
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock.
That's what we call a sack lunch.
I do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
The ACC had their spring meetings at Amelia Island, and remember, that was mainly about how can we finagle the money to get Florida State and Clemson more money, and they haggled over that. Let's advance a year. The spring meetings are about to start again. Now we're certain. I think we were probably somewhat certain, but now we're certain Clemson and Florida State are gone. At some point, it's just what's the money going to be? What's those meetings going to be like, though, as far as it being contentious?
You know, this is not a fun answer, but probably not super. Like, not super contentious. Like, everybody knows where everybody stands. I think that some of this is dramatized, like, even in the courtrooms, like, for, I don't know, just for legal purposes, maybe. I think that everybody's kind of on the same page. And, yes, they are very much so probably fighting over money right now and who wants to give a little bit more in a settlement. But, like, I think everybody knows that it's going to be a settlement. I think they're kind of – they're all kind of probably instructed by their attorneys, like, hey, don't go into these meetings and say – both sides, right? Don't go to these meetings and say something stupid that could cost you $50 million later because you admit something or you spout off at the mouth or just whatever. So I honestly think they'll avoid the entire subject. Like, I think it'll be about just the most frivolous crap ever. Can I say crap? I'm sure I can, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think it'll be – I know that's a boring answer. I wish it was contentious. But I don't think it'll be – I don't think there'll be much these guys could, you know – talk about, because I think that's all just kind of in the attorney's hands.
Ken and the 912, which is Georgia, asked TJ if he'd rather see FSU in the SEC or the B1G.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still the SEC. You make more money in the Big Ten, and, you know, I understand that some people have, like, the frustration with ESPN and the SEC over the snub and stuff like that, but I don't care. I don't want to go watch games in, you know, Minnesota and Wisconsin. Send me to the Grove. Send me to Baton Rouge or Columbia, South Carolina, or wherever. So, yeah, SEC for me. Florida State's always been an SEC-type program. They've always felt like that. I personally would not. The Big Ten is much better than the ACC, so I'm not trying to belittle it like that. But, yeah, I personally would, as a fan who travels and goes to games and enjoys matchups, like, you think about the matchups in the SEC, you know, what is the only one you wouldn't really care about? Like, Vandy? Well, you still get to go to Nashville, right? Like, who cares? So, yeah, I Mississippi State, you know, maybe Starkville's not that exciting. But there's, like, 10 of those in the Big Ten. So, yeah, as a fan who enjoys going to games, I take the SEC 10 times out of 10.
Jim and Jupiter says, I'll be out at a meeting, but ask TJ, about our new linebacker, Riley, and how bad a double dollar sign will the defense be in 2024?
Yeah, I think people expecting like this massive drop-off for FSU just because they sent a lot of guys to the draft are going to be pretty sorely disappointed. I really like the Riley pickup. I think if there were any questions about the defense, they were around that linebacking core, and was there enough depth there? I mean, Florida State plays a 4-2-5 a lot, and so you don't have to have, you know, this isn't like the Bucks of the early 2000s where you have to have three elite linebackers like Derrick Brooks and Hardy Nickerson and other guys, Shelton Quarles. Like, you can get away with having two really good linebackers or two pretty decent linebackers. So they got DJ Lundy back, who graded out extremely well on, you know, PFF last year. They get Sean Murphy from Alabama, and now they bring in Cam Riley, an Auburn transfer who had committed to NC State at one time and then is now at FSU, or, you know, now committed to FSU. Let's make sure he enrolls in August. But I don't really have any doubts about that or any worries there. Yeah, I think he's a big pickup. And I think Florida State, you know, oh, well, they put all these guys in the draft. They're not going to be as good. I think Florida State's got a chance to put, like, 8 to 10 guys in the draft again next year. So everybody that's just counting on this massive drop-off, this massive, you know, oh, Florida State's just not even going to be close. I mean, there's a reason their Vegas win total's still hovering around 10. There's a reason they're in everybody's top 12. There's a reason they're still favored to win the ACC next year. You know, people expecting some kind of a drop-off. This defense is going to be really, really good. The big question for the team is, how does DJU end up playing? Again, he had a better QBR last year than Jordan Travis. So does that mean he's going to be better than JT was? I'm not necessarily predicting that, but if he can be serviceable, the team's going to win a lot more games than they lose.
L-Dog down in Peachtree City, Atlanta area, posted a list of four schools that did not take any transfers in: Army, Navy, Air Force, and Clemson.
The four branches of the military. You know, I think, you know, let me give Dabo like a little bit of credit. All right, this is hard for me to do. I think there's something to be said for when you bring a kid in on scholarship, telling him, hey, we're not going to pull that, like, you've got that for 4 years, right? In this age of processing kids and telling kids to kind of hit the road because they're not up to snuff, or maybe you haven't developed them, or whatever the situation is, I think that there's something commendable about that. I'll say this, though. He's lucky he's won two national championships there, because you can't do that and keep a job in college football. Like, it's a nice thing. It's a moral thing. I think that's great. It's not realistic. It's not how the real world works. If somebody comes to work for you, Bill, and they absolutely suck, just because you gave them a job at one time doesn't necessarily mean that you have to employ them forever. And so it's a good thing that Dabo's won those couple of titles, because he has that luxury. And there's a reason that they've gone from winning a national championship to two losses, to three losses, to three losses, to now four losses in the last 4 years. And so you can honor scholarships like he does, and you could take less high schoolers. You could have a smaller high school class and take a couple of impact transfers. You look at the two guys that made a big difference in the Florida State game last year, Keon Coleman and Jared Verse. If they had Keon Coleman and Jared Verse, they beat Florida State by 14. You know, and so I think that, you know, there's some aspects of Dabo refusing to use the portal that are maybe commendable when you look at it from that perspective. The rest of it is just pure stubbornness. It is the idea of, hey, this is the way that I want to do things, and I am going to prove the other 133, well, I guess 130, because you mentioned three more. I'm going to prove the other 130 coaches in college football that I can still do it this way. And if he can, more power to him. But I think he's fighting a battle with one hand tied behind his back.
I mentioned it just a few minutes ago. All he's got to do to shut that up is win big again.
Well, the big problem, okay, so Norvell is not the most elite recruiter, right? This recruiting staff at Florida State is not by any means elite. I think they're very good. I think they can be around the top 10 every single year. But they're just not elite, right? Nobody's perfect at everything, right? And so maybe Kirby or Nick in their heyday, right? Like, you're absolute legends. But right. Nobody's great at everything. And so what has Norvell done? Well, he develops guys better than just about anybody in the country. And he goes to the portal, and he is able to get impact guys there. Well, Dabo's development has been slipping, right? And so, like, if you're not going to develop, like, their wide receiver, like, they were wide receiver you for a long time. And you look at the guys in the NFL right now that, like, have the Clemson name tag on, they're elite. And that's just not the case anymore. They're not putting wide receivers out like that anymore. The development on the offensive line is not good. And look at the quarterback position from DJU to now Klubnik. They're concerned as heck. And so, you know, Shipley was there for 74 years, so he got developed fine. But I think that you look at the development that they are lacking, and you say, okay, well, if you're going to be not as good on developing guys on the offensive side of the ball, whether that's because of your staff or system or whatever, you need to make up for that somewhere else. And, again, Norvell, not the elite, you know, recruiter that maybe Jimbo was or Bobby was, but he makes up for that in other places. He gets the most out of his guys. He does a good job in the portal. And so Dabo is almost limiting himself in two ways, right? One, development, and two, the portal. And, man, I think that's what's tough. He's still going to recruit fairly well. I mean, you know, they do a good job of recruiting there, but he's not getting the most out of his guys, and then he's sticking with those guys that he's not developed very well.
Boise State's Spencer Danielson announced incoming freshmen are banned from taking NIL money their first season. I commend that, as you were just mentioning. I don't know if that's smart to have that public.
Yeah, I almost wonder, you know, I wonder if you can even do that. Like, I guess you can make whatever rules you want, but you can't tell. You're looking at the government of the the U.S. government, right? The legislative branch.
Yeah.
They're telling every conference and every, you know, the NCAA and all these different places, like, you cannot restrict someone's right to make money in this country, right? And all of these kids are voluntarily NCAA athletes, just like they're voluntarily a Boise State football player. And so how can you tell them that they can't? Like, I almost even wonder if that's legal, right? I'm not an attorney. This is not legal advice. Like, I don't know. But I just wonder, well, if the NCAA can't say that, why can some coach say, like, yeah, you can't go do a deal? Now, it's his rule. He can do what he wants. He can kick players off the team if they do that. But, man, I don't know if that's a great recruiting pitch. Like, come here and make $0 when the other 132 schools out there are making money. I don't know that people love playing on blue fields that much.
Well, and I don't know. I will plead ignorance here. I don't know if that's much of a name, image, likeness school anyways.
I agree. It's not. But, I mean, still, everybody's making something.
Sure.
Or at least has the opportunity to make something. You know, if you've got a big social following and you get a deal with a local AC company, why can't you make $500 a month, you know, to post a couple of tweets?
Tell everybody how they can get your content.
More of this whining and complaining if you go to Double Fries No Slaw on YouTube.
See you next week, man.
See you, bud.
DJ Pitcher. Next in line, Dave Hooker. Get up on Rocky Top, see what's up.
Good morning. Still very slow go at times. Westbound Vietnam Vets coming out of Hendersonville, approaching Conference Drive there. Again, in Sumter County, coming towards Nashville, it is very heavy. It's also loaded up pretty good with a lot of volume. Sometimes it's stop and go at times on 24 westbound, trying to get out of Murfreesboro up through the Antioch area. Just got a lot of volume coming in right now from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County towards Nashville. It's also busy over here in Hermitage with a lot of volume as well. Westbound I-40 coming from the Mount Julian area there into Hermitage. Princess Hot Chicken has new items on a new menu. You've got to check them out today. Some of them are just downright awesome. PrincessHotChicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
And now, Elite Land Management is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Their tireless effort should never go unnoticed. This message is brought to you by Elite Land Management, serving Middle Tennessee with over a decade of experience. For forestry mulching and land clearing, give the pros a call today at 931-931-931. 931-306-4157. 931-306-4157. That's Elite Land Management. They're professionals who care.
You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thingy.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water, pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
And now Caesars Plumbing and Mechanical is reminding motorists to slow down on our roadways, keep an eye out for kids at play, and never text and drive. This message brought to you by veteran-owned and operated Caesars Plumbing and Mechanical, LLC, serving up to a 50-mile radius from Nashville. For residential or commercial septic and plumbing installations, repairs, service, and construction, give the pros a call today and ask about their veteran and first responder discount, 615-295-5359, 615-295-5359, or visit CaesarsPlumbing.com. That's Caesars Plumbing and Mechanical, LLC. They're professionals who care.
I'm a retired school psychologist, and helping people was my thing. After my stroke, when Meals on Wheels started, I was on the other end of the stick, so to speak. My name is Julius Gaines, creative writer, poet, photographer.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
The old BCS computer runs on diesel fuel and dreams. We know this because it lives in Bill King's garage.
Casey Sherber will be with us, thefixbird.com. We'll head up to Chicago where he's located. He's a South Carolina kid, though. We'll talk all things Gamecocks. If you have any collective questions, he knows the landscape out there pretty well. He's in it pretty much every day. On Rocky Top, I'd say that, you know how occasionally we'll have a happiness meter reading for several schools, or we'll go around and just kind of point it out. Tennessee's a pretty happy place right now. I'd say it's a very happy place. Historically, like you've heard, they have done a very good job of stabbing each other in the back and hiring very poorly in the administration type levels, very poorly. Right now, it is all lined up well. It really is. It's a happy place. Football is a happy place. They have a lot of hope for not just what Heupel's gotten done so far, but the future. Basketball program, Rick Barnes is doing as good a job as anybody. Tony Vols, softball program is very, very highly thought of, a national-type power. Dave Hooker, Off the Hook Sports, joins us each and every Thursday. Welcome in, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me. I certainly appreciate it.
I was just commenting, and Dave, you and I would historically know this, Tennessee is well known for backstabbing, infighting, poor administrative hires, whether it's a chancellor, president, maybe an AD somewhere. but and bad head coaching hires from time to time. But I'd say right now, with Dondi Plowman, Danny White, the coaches they have, they've got a new female basketball coach, women's basketball coach. But I would say, historically, Dave, Tennessee is, in unison, a fairly happy place.
Agreed. Probably the happiest it's been since 2001, that SEC championship game in which the Vols lost to LSU, and Nick Saban turned out to be what a lot of people thought was the beginning of battered ball syndrome, BVS. If you've suffered from that, I hear it's quite painful. But no, and I can remember thinking at times how good Tennessee had it when I was on campus, which was kind of the heyday in the mid to late 90s, and thinking this can't be how it is all the time. And sure enough, it's not. So Tennessee fans need to enjoy it, because I think they've got a couple of programs that, if they're not knocking on the door of the championship, they're certainly walking up to the sidewalk, so to speak.
Some of the futuristic items that I'm reading about involving the huge congressional, well, the lawsuits going on right now, NCAA-wise, I should say. And we do know their settlement's going to be in the billions, and they're predicting it's going to be 10 years, $30 million, and about 17 to 21 of that will be player salaries. But that aside, also in that, there is talk that if you want to add scholarships, for example, baseball right now gets 11.7 scholarships for 32 players. And nobody can get below 25%, but they divvy it up. Tony up there, of course, Tony Vitello. But from what I'm reading, if you have the muscle in the future, they're going to let you add scholarships. And I don't even know if there's a cap on it. I didn't read anything about a cap. But if you wanted to say, okay, we're going to field, we're going to have, instead of 11.7, Dave, we're going to go to 21. I'm just picking a number. Does Tony Vitello have that kind of muscle to get that done? I think he does.
Probably, yes. Because I think right now the baseball team has surpassed the women's basketball team in interest. And I know right. That sounds insane with somebody like Pat Summitt in your history, but that's
right.
That's where it is. And the athletic director wants to spend money on that, because I think he likes the exposure at that particular time of the year. If you think about Tennessee's in the news sports-wise year-round, and they've got that part covered during the winter with the men's. And don't get me wrong, Danny White wants the women to be as good as they can, but I think he feels like baseball's kind of been the priority lately, and they've done an awful lot with that. So, no, I think that Tennessee, as far as good as you got it, every once in a while you do need to sit back and say, this is it. Because if not for Kirby Smart being out there, I think we talk about Josh Heupel being in that upper tier of 10, 15 coaches. It just happens to be that you have perhaps a generational coach at your rival school. So we'll see how he can overcome that. But aside from that, I don't know what you could really gripe about if you're a Tennessee fan right now.
Not only that, but Danny White's overseeing this athletic department, and we're approaching mid-May, and Tennessee's the number one ranked baseball program in America for the second time in 3 years. Now most of 22, they were ranked number one, right? When they took over, they kept it all the way to the one seed to the tournament before getting eliminated by Notre Dame. But having that number one by your name, even though that's not certainly a conclusive ending to the season yet, we got games to play, that publicity is good.
It never hurts, and they're across the board in every ranking. So baseball is still back in the early 1990s in terms of baseball. In terms of football, because they're different rankings. But they're across the board number one. You know, you compare them to that 2022 team, and I will tell you, that was our first year. And if you wanted to get a lot of clicks, write anything about the baseball team. Because if you remember, that's when they were wearing the fur coats outside of the stadium. They were doing the bat flips. They were randomly giving the umpire and fans the bird for what, I have no idea why they were doing that. But that was such a sensational team that it got a lot of people interested in baseball. However, that's not the type of team you win with, one that relies on emotion like that, at least not most of the time. So I think this team is better equipped in that they're a little bit more even keel to make a run in the College World Series. Whereas I think we were all waiting 2 years ago with that team and all its antics. It felt like we were just waiting for them to implode.
Dave Hooker, Off the Hook Sports. Any football news of interest right now?
Well, at Off the Hook Sports, we happen to be counting down the 10 most important players. I'm hesitant to do that coming out of spring practice because I told you last year that I thought Cooper Mays was the bubble wrap guy, the guy that can't get hurt, including Joe Milton. And what happened? So I'm hesitant to do the list, but these are the 10 most important balls coming out of spring practice. We just had Javonte Spraggins as number 10, so we'll continue to do that countdown. But news-wise, football, just stay out of trouble. This is that time of year where you just want to stay out of trouble. And I think that's what they're shooting for.
In Nashville, starting Friday night, it's Tennessee at Vanderbilt baseball. Now, that speaks for itself. Vanderbilt baseball has slipped. Doesn't appear as if they've transitioned like they need to in this new name, image, likeness era. But in general, where does Vanderbilt rank when it comes to Vol fan hatred?
It depends on the age. So if you're, let's say, 70-plus, I think you look at Vanderbilt. I think that's the reason that General Nealon was hired to beat Vanderbilt. A lot of people forget that. And so I think if you're older, you look at Vanderbilt as the main rival. And then I think the younger you get, probably around my age, I just turned 50, so in the 45 to, let's say, 60 range, you're probably looking at Alabama. And then younger than that, you're probably looking at Florida. I guess now you're looking at the entire conference, the way they've played the past 12 or so years. So at this point, Bill, I think there's probably a lot of rivals out there. I think we were having this discussion yesterday. How many people consider Tennessee a rival? I think you would include Kentucky in that. I think you would include South Carolina in that. My argument is you've got to win your fair share to be a rival, but still, there are about a half dozen teams that point to Tennessee as a rival and get Tennessee's best shot more times than not.
If your prominent years of adopting and loving a sport were the 90s and you're a Tennessee person, it'd probably be Florida because the Spurrier versus Fulmer matchups had not just the state of Florida or Tennessee or not just the Eastern Division, but it had everything riding on it. It had a division, a league. It had national implications. Spurrier was running his mouth, which ticked everybody off. That'd probably be the one back then.
Yeah, and you know, Spurrier would call columnists in Knoxville to give them some good juice right through the week before the Tennessee game. I always thought that was pretty classic. Tennessee and Florida, and I realized it at the time. I thought it's not always going to be like this. But they had the Super Bowl in September. They had the biggest sporting event, regardless of, and I'm including the NFL, but the biggest single sporting event in September on the sports calendar in the United States of America, I thought was Tennessee, Florida. And I can't even off the top of my head think of a close second.
That ended basically in 01. And that's the year 9/11. The game got moved to the end of the season. Tennessee played, I think, their best game maybe in modern history that day, including 1998. And I don't know if, Dave, it's that rivalry has been the same since.
It hasn't, and part of that is because you had a little bit of cayenne pepper thrown in there with Steve Spurrier throwing out some comments. So nobody is as good at that. I mean, he was fantastic. It just kind of poking you and nudging you, and it's one of those where you walk away and you say, I should have said something more clever in response. I couldn't think of anything good.
Right.
So he was like that, so he added the special sauce. So I don't think it's the same. I don't think it ever will be. But there was a time like those 70-year-olds that are listening to us right now, there was a time that Tennessee Vanderbilt was the premier rival. So things do change, but football seems to carry on, especially in the South, where it just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Dave Hooker off the Hook Sports. Dirk and the 229 says Bill Fulmer is still a snitch. That's all he says on the text line. I must be an Alabama person.
you have no idea. I mean, I've read the letters that went from, because it was public record, it was on Tennessee Letterhead. I've read the letters that went from Philip Fulmer to Roy Kramer. I mean, there is no question. I've read the 50 pages of letters. Yes, it's clearly Philip Fulmer was upset, in particular with the Albert Means situation, what Alabama was doing, and what he thought was paying players on a regular basis. And I can't even begin to hint at the coarse language that was used in a written letter, which you don't see anymore. Really, Bill, nowadays you don't see a good obscenity-laden letter anymore, a handwritten letter. We need more of those.
I saw, and you're in touch with Jimmy Himes. I haven't talked to Jimmy in years, but I saw an interview, or I didn't get to actually see it. I saw the link to it. Him and Roy Kramer. Now, it was a picture, and Roy is in his 90s. I don't know if he's 98, but Roy is very, very old, but he's still alive, and they're talking about, I guess, the future, where all this is going.
Yeah, I thought that was neat. I thought it was really neat going back to 2000 when I asked Roy Kramer, and I called him Roy because I was a young, immature idiot instead of the commissioner. But I said, well, hey, Roy, this redheaded kid has a question for you. And I said, you know, with the BCS, you're slotting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams on and on and on, which is essentially just setting up a playoff formula, and he was anti-playoff. Bill,
oh.
I have never gotten a more evil stare from an elderly man in my life. I was very scared at that moment because I didn't realize he was anti-playoff. But there was a realization that set in that I think he thought to himself, if they wanted to use this as a 1-8, 2-7, 3-6 playoff, they could do it tomorrow, and essentially they ended up doing that.
Yeah, Mike Slive, who came in after him, who was also a brilliant commissioner, was laid back, at least certainly publicly, and a very gracious guy. Roy was nice if he needed to be, but Roy was an iron fist commissioner, right? I mean, Roy intimidated if need be.
Right, and I think probably the one knock, and it kind of came from your Alabama fan, is a lot of people thought that Tennessee got some favorable treatment at that time. I'll let you be the judge, but I will say the Vols, they were able to skip out on some NCAA issues at the time.
Dave, we'll see you next week, sir.
See you, buddy.
Yeah, Roy, and I dealt with Roy. I've been in one-on-one meetings where I'm getting dressed down, right, with Roy. Roy's an iron fist leader. It worked. No, it worked. J.C. Sherbert, about 20 minutes into hour 3 on this Thursday edition. I'm the Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still a couple of accidents out here getting some attention. It's moving right now on 24 up through the Antioch area, coming in from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, but it is heavy. Same thing going on Vietnam Vets westbound. That got bogged down pretty good a few minutes ago, just before you get to 65 there, coming past Conference Drive, Spring Street at first. They were on the scene of that crash just a few minutes ago. Hey, Princess Hot Chicken has brand new items on a brand new menu. You can order online today. It's easy. Log on to princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
With 13 locations nationally, including Smyrna, Star Leasing Company is a semi-trailer one-stop shop and the perfect place to build a career as a semi-trailer mechanic. Seeking candidates with all levels of experience, Star Leasing Company has a semi-trailer technician trainee program with sign-on and quarterly bonuses and other opportunities such as $1,000 for having a yearly physical. The package also includes 401k with company match, health, dental, and vision insurance, competitive pay with weekly paychecks, and paid holidays and time off. Star Leasing Company, not your typical semi-trailer leasing company. It's starleasing.com to learn more.
The Omaha Steaks semi-annual sale is here. Get 50% off site-wide and save on mouthwatering favorites today. Go to omahasteaks.com and shop the semi-annual sale, where you can load up on all the delicious flavor you crave at half the price. And when you use promo code SIZZLE at checkout, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. Save big on delicious, tender, juicy steaks, big, beefy burgers, and so much more. With Omaha Steaks, the possibilities are endless. Endless flavor and endless value. Every purchase is backed by their unconditional money-back guarantee. Simply go to omahasteaks.com and shop the semi-annual sale today. And don't forget to use promo code SIZZLE at checkout to get an extra $30 off your order. Hurry, because this deal won't last long. Kickstart your spring grilling today. That's omahasteaks.com. Promo code SIZZLE at checkout. Minimum purchase may apply.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Hey there, you don't know me, but I was standing behind you the other morning in line, remember? You thought about buying that Tennessee Lottery instant game, but changed your mind. Well, I just wanted to say thank you. I bought it and won big. Pretty annoying, right? But don't worry, I'll bring you back a t-shirt from the Bahamas.
Don't miss your chance to win up to $500,000 with the new May Instant Games. Plus, earn 5x VIP rewards points on all multiplier games in May, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
The Atlanta Braves are back with a loaded roster of young talent and some new faces in the A. It's going to be another wild season.
3-1 hit high in the air to deep center field.
Here it comes. Home run right over the wall.
Tomorrow, the Braves head out for a huge division battle on the road in New York as they take on the New York Mets at Citi Field.
Pregame coverage begins at 5:55 p.m. live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
When it comes to the college football playoff, he's for exclusion, not inclusion. It's Bill King.
Josh up in Picktown. Yeah, good to see good friend Josh down on the Emerald Coast. We went on a Buffalo Trace run. Came up empty, but we tried, man. Yeah, we tried. Josh says, Bill, today, Council Bluffs, Iowa, 2 o'clock. Current teams, not teams from some year in the past, which are fun. But he says, right now, Florida State, Ohio State. Yeah, Ohio State wins that game. There's no debating that. Now, I got to think out. Both teams are transitioning. Transfer quarterbacks. Unless Devin Brown wins the job. I should say both teams could be. We do know DJU's trotting out there for Florida State. Will Howard, it's not certain that he's the starting quarterback. Now, when you're transitioning like that, there is a rhythm to everything that has to be established. So I think it would be sloppy. The Ohio State defense has a chance to just be wicked. So I don't think Florida State gets a lot done offensively in that game. Ohio State wins the game. I don't think it gets as pointsy as maybe it could. I'm going to say today, 2 o'clock, Council Bluffs, Florida State, Ohio State, 21-13. Ohio State. I don't think it gets pointsy. Probably sloppy. If the weather's anything like, and that's Council Bluffs, that's not really near the 615, but if the weather's sloppy like it is here, you could have that ball, that oblong spheroid all over the place. But nonetheless, we can't account for that. Ohio State's got a better roster. They've recruited better. Florida State's not in that world yet. They're not back to that world. They're good. And I do think that what's going to be interesting is one of my favorites, and that is the follow-through, right? We talk about all the time. The confirmation. That's a fun part, man. That's something that we get into a bunch here. But no, that would be that'd be a fun game. That'd be a fun game. Kirkland says, Bill, do you think that Joe Milton can project to the pros the way he played in college? No, not at all. Tennessee fans, most of them, I think a good majority of them are very pro Joe Milton. I'm not. Joe Milton as a performer mainly frustrated me. He is not a pro quarterback. Now, does he have all the measurables that you could possibly want on any level? Oh, God, yes. Joe Milton is 6'5", 250 without even trying. He's a pro body. He's probably throw a fastball 100 miles an hour. Probably. I mean, but the rest of the game does not translate. No. Nope, not at all. I was not a big fan. Jeff 2 here in the 615 says, Bill, hope all the weather affected areas made it through okay yesterday. I doubt I got more than 3 hours of sleep last night because of the lightning, thunder, and rain. Thankfully, no tornadoes in his area of Wilco, although many weren't so lucky. Condolences to all that were affected. But I could, yeah, it was pretty bumpy overnight, starting at about 6 o'clock, actually, on and off. And if you weren't able to pick up the top of the show, meaning the beginning this morning, I was on the computer just hanging out a little bit. I wasn't paying much attention. I knew it was raining hard. And then I started getting messages, one from Jeff too, another one from my son Billy. And it was, hey, man, they're saying there's a tornado in your area. Which there was. Now, I didn't see it, but it was in the area. Brent says, Bill, Joe Milton held the team back last year. I am pro Josh Heupel for sure. I like the job he's done. Now I've got some issues that I'm not happy with of the defensive side of the ball. Certainly Willie Martinez, there's issues that I'm not going to be happy with. I just know that when looking at them. But I like the overall job Heupel's done. I still will never understand the fierce loyalty they had to Joe Milton. When you've got a better player sitting there right out of high school. I'm going to say that again just to make sure that I am on the record. You've got a much better talent. I don't care how raw he is. Sitting on the bench. Than a fifth-year guy. Now again, it's his team. Put anybody where he wants to put them. I don't get a say in it, but I don't have to agree with it. I don't understand that. Yeah, Bill, you're talking about a true freshman quarterback, right? Yes. Yes, I am. No way many coaches stick with Joe Milton the way they did. No way.
Good morning. They were clearing a wreck a few minutes ago coming off that ramp from Vietnam. That's on the 65 southbound, and it's there long enough to really slow down that traffic even more coming in from Hendersonville there on Vietnam. That's going westbound as it loads up now up through the Brentwood, Franklin area on 65. Northbound up through Williamson County, that's pretty busy. Still heavy over here on 24 westbound up through Antioch coming in from Murfreesboro, Rutherford County. There's still a lot of storm damage all over Middle Tennessee this morning. Please be careful out there on some of these back roads. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken has new items on a new menu. You can order online, princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, co-workers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro, with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro, where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
A friend of mine just bought a new house for the first time. A new house. I mean, my wife and I love to own a house. So I asked him how he did it. And he smiled and he said he went to the knowledge tree. He had this happy look on his face. So I told him to tell me more. And he said, John, the lack of knowledge will keep you poor. Then he handed me a brochure. It was from Knowledge Tree Mortgage. Now I understood. And after one phone call, I understood even more. Knowledge Tree Mortgage specializes in first-time homebuyers. Folks like me who get the runaround from banks. And he got us pre-qualified. Knowledge Tree Mortgage got us our mortgage. And tomorrow, my wife and I are going to become first-time homebuyers. Here's the number, 859-9599. 859-9599. Money doesn't grow on trees. Knowledge does. Knowledge Tree Mortgage, 859-9599. 859-9599.
The Locksmith Company, our full-service locksmithing expert, is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Their tireless efforts should never go unnoticed. This message is brought to you by The Locksmith Company, a proud veteran employer. For all your residential, commercial, or automotive locksmithing needs, call today for a free estimate or 24/7 emergency service at 931-801-5427. 931-801-5427. And also visit the LSCO.com. The Locksmith Company is looking forward to seeing you.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
All this has been great so far for Rand Carthon. Like, this offseason has been a really good offseason for the Titans. I mean, they really have knocked it out of the park here in the last week, right? I mean, Calvin Ridley, this trade, obviously landing Cushenberry.
Yeah.
Everything that they've done really has been really good.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
Call 615-844-5600. Get in on the Bill King Show.
Stephen down in Athens, Georgia. Now, this stems from the conversations we were having earlier about Clemson and Dabo Sweeney and where the program is now compared to where it was, let's say, 2019 all the way down to 2014, 15. 16, 17, when they won two natties and had chances to win others. I mean, an epic run for them. All the credit goes to Dabo Sweeney. He did a wonderful job and still is a good coach. But it slipped. There's no debating that. It has slipped. And they've gone from a superpower to pretty good. And one of the critiques is he won't do anything in the portal. That list that L-Dog put out earlier, four teams did not take anybody this go-around, and that would be the service academies, Army, Navy, Air Force, Clemson. Now, again, it's his program. He can do what he sees fit. I respect that. But a lot of critique out there, a lot of critics when it comes to the way he's going about the business model. A lot of critics. Steven says, down in Athens, Georgia, I don't want to take anything away from Dabo, but it seems to me that Clemson has not recruited at a high level since Coach Smart came to town. I know we only have taken 10 to 12 in state per year, but those 10 to 12 may have been the cream. There aren't many Georgia players we really want that we don't get as opposed to before Kirby took the job. There are some, but not like before. I'm also not going to start bashing Coach Mark Richt, but there were several Georgia players that left who weren't even on our radar. Well, and Kirby got there. What year was that? Was it 16, 17? Was it 17? And Clemson was wrapping up their second national championship, 15 and 17. And, of course, they played Alabama a bunch when Kirby was there. Were big stakes. And Dabo used to be on that Alabama staff well before Nick got there and was a walk-on there back in the day, during the Stallings era. But if you are Clemson, and Jeff, too, did the math yesterday, you are 35, 36 miles from the Georgia state line. And if you want to take it on in, you're 125 miles campus-wise from Atlanta. Georgia is a monster recruiting state for Clemson. I mean a just huge recruiting state for them. And it's big for a lot of teams that want to go in there and get players. But and Clemson is a national power that can command respect in that state, right? They've gone in there and done a fantastic job in the state of Georgia throughout the years. Now, this kid, they got one of the top-ranked linebackers in America out of Jefferson, Georgia, Sammy Brown, came in there in the spring, and apparently, and I didn't watch the spring game. It's hard for me. But everything I saw, this kid just blew it up. This kid's going to impact immediately. And again, he's a Georgia kid, five-star, ranked in the top 10, 15 in America. So they still get some dudes out of there. This safety they got out of Warner Robins, where you can hear this show, Middle Georgia. Ricardo Jones is one of the top 10 or so players in the state of Georgia that they went in there and got. They came into here into Wilco out of Page High School, which is 15 minutes from here, and got an offensive lineman, Ronan O'Connell, who's 6'5", 300. They came into the 6'1", 5. Yeah, Georgia is very important to them. Do they go get the same dudes on the level? Here's what I would like to know. Remember, I believe it was Georgia Dog went back and did the math. As good as the state of Georgia is, and Georgia is the top program in America, without debate, but they only take about 10 to 12 on average a year per recruiting class out of that state. They go everywhere. Even as good as that state is, they get what they want, most of what they want. But they go over half their class comes from outside that incredibly fertile state. And the blueprint is working very well. Can't argue with it. Can't tell Kirby, hey, Kirby, I would allocate more in-state. You're making too many mistakes. Can't say that. His formula is working out wonderfully. Here's what I'd like to know. Since right before Clemson started winning natties to right now, how many in-state Georgia kids does Clemson sign per year? That'd be an interesting case study. Now, you're not always going to get Sammy Brown, you know, times three. Not necessarily. Or go in there and get a Deshaun Watson, right? Out of where was he? Gainesville? Georgia? Or Pretty Boy? You got out of there as well. I mean, those quarterbacks like that for a college player, you could borderline, you could say that's generational. Those are ridiculous impact talents. And he's saying, I don't think, Bill, that they're doing it at the level anymore in his state where he's at. I'd like to see how many they get a year and what that looks like through the last 7 years or so. I haven't looked at that part deep enough. Hour three coming up, and about 20 minutes in, J.C. Sherman.